Oh, yeah, let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. You guys on the live side ready to get after it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. It's great to have you guys on the call. I know a lot of you guys have business. You are still cleaning up tonight. In fact, I'm getting texted right now by several people saying they are placing orders and getting the volume and levels in as we go. So we're going to get right into it. We have a really cool presentation tonight by a really great consultant who will be Anika Diamond. And I want to give congratulations to an absolutely magnificent job this month, everybody. And holy smokes, what great numbers. What a great event we had this weekend. Did you guys, Melissa, did you guys have fun this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of fun. It was a magnificent event. And on that note, I just want to give you guys a quick couple pieces of news before we get into this. Most of you should have gotten the news on the November 9th product launch in Texas.
Yes.
If you guys go, and let me share my desktop real quickly, I will pull up the page. Can you guys see my desktop yet?
No.
Yeah.
All right, let me get it pulled up. Hold on. Oh, there we go. I guess if I would hit share my desktop, I'd probably more effectively share my desktop.
Yes.
Okay, if you guys go to Texas Events, and you scroll down, I gotta load the picture up still, it'll be in there in a minute. But if you click that page, it will pull up your flyer for the Texas launch. It has the map on it and everything. We're gonna go from 10 to 1, or 9:45 to 1. So a nice fast day focused on the products, powerful stories, and the day will be all around how this impacts lives. Our goal that day is to not only have the products move, but have a powerful testimonial after powerful testimonial after powerful testimonial. A big send-off, and then in the afternoon, we are so blessed that we're going to have an unbelievable barbecue picnic extravaganza at Liz Coker and Andy Hammond, which is literally 2 or 3 minutes away, and all you need to do is just bring a dish or a side or something, and if you have something cold, there are refrigerators where we're doing the morning event, so it will be a blast. So more on that later. We're going to have a blast. There is limited seating, like I told you guys this weekend. The venue, it's good size, but we're going to sell it out. So get your team in, get your people in, figure out what you want, get the block of tickets and get your people in the room because we're going to move some massive technologies that day and blow people away. So that's up and coming. And then last but not least, if you look down below it, we have dates for the Pathfinder Summit 1 and 2 in 2014. We have dates for 2 Texas Workshop Super Saturdays that are already up and on the books, as well as the November event, as well as the January Humans Being More. We have an effective calendar of the strategic Texas events up for the next year so all the people in the different markets can plan their schedules. We also have a large number of people asking about Summit. The Summit will be April 5th and 6th. It will be a prospecting academy designed around giving tools for people to build their business and successfully put people into Nikken Now. So that's the next big event, April 5th and 6th. Couldn't go any earlier because you get into March, you get too much bad weather. Freak storms as well as all the spring breaks. Can't go any deeper because we're up against graduation, the Royal Alliance events and stuff like that. We have gone in April since 2005. So we're going to go, as early as we can, but as late as we can in the year to make it good. So those are the dates for what is up and coming and for what's happening here. So let me stop sharing this doggone page right here. We'll kind of get into it tonight. What I, wanted to tell you guys, was that, when we talk to people in this business, everybody wants to succeed. I don't doubt that anybody that comes in wants to be successful, would like to live a weekend dream, would like to have a larger vision. The challenge is most of us have never worked for ourselves, and we bring skills and habits that are designed for having a job over to a place where we're self-employed, and that's a place where we want to share some things with you to help you tune that up. All of you come to this call, whether you're brand spanking new or been in for a while, this to me, and I'll tell you guys after over a decade of doing this, we've worked with thousands of people from all different backgrounds. We've helped retire, Paige and I and our Pathfinders group, hundreds and hundreds of people. We've helped hundreds of people go silver and above. And the cutting point is not who talks the best, who's the most professional. It's not who knows the most people or has the most time. In fact, guys, just a little newsflash, most of the people that do the biggest volume are the busiest people. I don't know why that is. But, you know, they always say if you have a job to do, give it to the busiest people. And I think it's because they're more efficient at time management, which is one of the traits of being self-employed. We want to help. For example, Jeremy said a great thing this weekend. He's going to be the lead presenter on this tonight. A lot of people, let's say they have a job they hate, they have a hobby like fishing, and they have their Nikon business that will give them the life that they want. What's really interesting is only one of those three things will set you up to be free for life. But Nikon often is the thing that even sits behind the hobby. You guys on the live side, have you guys ever noticed that? How Nikon is the thing that will deliver the life people want, but it often gets billing even below a hobby. And that's a place where nobody does that purposely. It's just nobody is coming over and saying, you have to do your business this week. So what happens is we get into I'll do it tomorrow mentality and a daily method of operations and understanding how to have the mindset of being a business builder and maybe also accepting. You're probably going to look a little more tired to get your business built. You're probably going to have a busier schedule for the next 6 months or year while you get your business in the air. But the payoff is, with all the stuff Jeremy's talking about tonight, is having the time and the freedom to live how you want the rest of your life and call your own shot. Do you, can you, and will you build your business for a few months to a year or so or 2 years, whatever that little window is, and it varies depending on a lot of different factors, but for a short time, shorter than what it would take to go to a junior college to get an associate's degree, certainly with a committed, solid effort. I'm not talking about 10 days on and 3 weeks off and 2 days on and 5 days off. I'm talking about a sustained effort to set yourself free for life. Will you, can you, should you do it? That's where the operative thing is. And if you do, the payoffs are amazing. The rest of your life, you'll be free. So Jeremy Greco has actually been in instructions with people, teaching people how to be self-employed, as not only a massage therapist, but a teacher of massage therapists. And a lot of these people work for themselves, you know, they're generating business and having you go out and meet clients. So he's actually been an instructor in this field for years of teaching people how to think. And they're getting ready to make a big push in their business. They've got four little girls. Not so little anymore. They're getting bigger. They have busy lives. And how do you succeed? So, Jeremy, you did a lot of work putting this together. You really took the lead on it. You have a lot of wisdom to share. You guys are on the verge of your Royal Diamond run. So you're not saying do as I say it, but it's do as I do. So you're coming on tonight basically to share with people how to be successful being self-employed and how to go out and basically set yourself up to win and succeed with the fundamentals. As it says, the producing results that are predictable of our product, because that's what makes it a business. So, Jeremy, I know you're fired up about this. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. And are you fired up and ready to help give people some tidbits to be free, my friend?
Well, I tell you, I certainly am. Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, great. So, I'm just gonna start. Anything else you want to add there, Rick? Or I'm just gonna go.
Can you move the slides? Make sure you can do that for me.
Sure, I can do that. Yeah.
I just passed privileges. Now give it a shot.
Just pass me the ball, and I got it. All right. Yep. I can move the slides. Beautiful.
All right, man. You're the man. Go ahead and get loose.
All right.
Let's lead some people to freedom.
All right. So everybody, I want to first of all preface this by saying something. Is that way back in the late 90s was the first time I was ever introduced to network marketing, and I didn't even know it was network marketing at the time. And the big thing that it was sign up and then go and talk to a bunch of people and get them to sign up. And that was pretty much what the training was. Has anybody else ever heard something similar? Sign up and then, hey, you're signed up, now go tell people. And how does that work? If you're bringing a new person on and they're really excited, they feel your fire, you've effectively communicated some passion and you're excited, you got this new all-star on board and you say, hey, now you just need to go talk to people, show them this tool and you just talk to enough people and it kind of will work for you. Has that gone very well across the board?
No.
No, I tell you what, about 6 years ago, I think it was 2005, I had signed up, with somebody in a deal and I asked them that same question. Well, how do we talk to people? Because I, believe it or not, I was an introvert growing up. And I wanted to, come up with a way to communicate effectively. What do we do? What are the baby steps? Anybody seen that movie, What About Bob?
Absolutely.
You remember that one back there where he's got to overcome all his little things that he's got where he's afraid to touch a doorknob, and he's afraid to go outside, and he's afraid to have contact with humans. And he gets this book from his new doctor called Baby Steps, and it's about, hey, baby steps, just walk to the door. Baby steps, just reach out. Baby steps, turn the doorknob. You know, it's like breaking it down. I wanted to do that, but keep it simple. But not only is this going to be simple for a new person, but it should serve to allow the most seasoned person to teach it to their new person, thus making them duplicatable. So I took the subtitle here on this slide from something Liz Coker said this Saturday. She said that our results need to be as predictable as our product. And that's kind of the genesis behind this idea here, is to go with that. So I'm going to go to the next slide. Why do we need to practice the fundamentals? I gave an analogy, a baseball analogy, a few days ago about knowing the rules doesn't give you the results. I've got four little girls, as Rick mentioned, and the youngest one, they love baseball. When we first came to Texas, we took them to a Texas Rangers game, and they fell in love with baseball. And every time the Rangers are on TV, and don't tell me the score, nobody tell me the score. I know it's on TV right now. Game 163 is going on, so a media blackout, and I don't have a mother that's going to text me the score to that one. But they love baseball, and every time the Rangers are on TV, they come on down, and they yell, "Rangers!" And they love baseball. And they watch baseball, and they see, hey, there's a guy throwing a ball, and there's a guy hitting the ball. And when the guy hits the ball, he runs. And that's about as much as their five-year-old minds can understand, right? So they get a little bitty bat and a small little ball, and they go outside, and they start throwing the ball up in the air and just swatting at it, chopping at it like an axe. And they're really, really excited. It's almost like they're a new sign-up. They've just been enrolled, and they're on fire, and somebody says, go hit. And so they go out there, they find some ball, or they find a rock, and they throw it way up in the air, and as they throw it up, it goes behind their head, and they swing forward from their head, and they have no idea where the ball was that they threw up. And it doesn't really look like baseball. And after such a long period of time, they get tired, and they want some help. So they ask that. Dad, will you come play baseball with us? And what they're asking is, teach me, is what they're trying to say. And so it's really interesting is that we now have the rule of NECAN. We've got a pathway laid out for us, and that's like the rule book. And if we draw the analogy to the rules of baseball, we know that when the pitcher pitches the ball, the batter's supposed to hit it. If the batter makes contact, he's got to run to where? First base, right? You know, do you think my daughters ran to first base the first time they hit the ball? Even though they'd seen it on TV? Guess which way they ran? Anybody want to take a guess? They went to third base. Because what they saw on TV was a left-handed batter get a hit and run to the base closest to that left-handed batter. Well, they're batting right-handed, so they get a hit, and in their minds, it made perfect sense to run to third base. See how sometimes even when we think we know the rules, we're not yet all there. But let's say we've got all the rules down. Next, 10 years old. We've got all the rules down. We know how baseball is played. Do we have the skill set now to go play the Texas Rangers on a Major League Baseball field?
No.
No, not yet. We've got to develop some skills. So that's what we're talking about today, is let's develop the skills. We know we're supposed to teach three to reach three. Now let's talk about how. How do we reach those three? Even millionaire professional athletes continue to practice every day. I think I heard this from Rick a long time ago, where I don't know if he was telling a story or if it was him himself, went to
the Bulls,
the Chicago Bulls.
Was the first one there.
Yeah. Yeah, he got there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was there. And by the way, Jeremy, when you go see a PGA tour, Tiger Woods was always the first one out there working on his short game and his drive. Larry Bird, he would actually have a guy come to turn the lights on for him at the stadium to shoot. That's how early he got there. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. It is. But what was Michael Jordan doing? Was he shooting all over the court, practicing layups and dunks? What was he doing? Wasn't he just practicing free throws?
Believe it or not, he was doing free throws, and he had a ball boy with him shooting them, and then he would go back, and he would just do real easy layups, and he would go out and take progressively longer shots, but he was doing all fundamentals.
Yeah, all fundamentals. So because that's what the pros do. The top people, they practice their fundamentals. At the Pathfinder Summit, Pat Perry got up there and talked about how she came up with a new response to what do you do. And she practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. And when she got on a plane, somebody asked her, and she just recited it back because she had practiced it so well. She couldn't believe she did it so well because it was a new one for her. She had to excuse herself, go back into the restroom and laugh because of that. But there it is. She was already a two-time Consultant of the Year winner, already a millionaire, already a Royal Diamond, and still practicing the fundamentals. Now, this last quote here that I got from, I don't know where it originated from, but I heard Paige say this a while back, and I've actually used this with my students. An amateur will practice until they get it right. A professional will keep practicing until it's impossible to get it wrong. That's always stayed with me, and something we just want to keep in mind, and that kind of sets the mindset of what we're talking about today. So what preparation do you need? What's your gear? What's your, if you're an athlete, you're a baseball player, you need a glove, you need some cleats, you need the proper uniform. What's your gear and knee cam? Part one, always be ready and able to tell people why you're building knee cam. Now, it should be short, it should be to the point, and it should touch them on some level. So I'm not going to go into these too much because we have entire calls wrapped around these ones. But if someone were to ask me, Jeremy, why are you building knee cam? My response is simple. You know, we kind of got caught up in the economic downturn and found out that working 60 hours a week for less money and never seeing my family wasn't the way that we wanted to live. And I wanted to, right now we're changing that. We're turning that around so that we can spend time with our family because our family deserves the best we have to offer them, not the leftovers. And that's what I tell people. And that should get to people. If it's a financial aspect as well, it's like, hey, you know, finances are not the way that it was for us, and we're looking to turn that around now, so we're excited about what we have. So it should be simple, but you have to be ready to tell people why you're building knee cam at a moment's notice. And the second thing you need to be able to do is answer the question, what do you do? Basically, what we have termed your catchphrase, and next week's call, next Monday night, is all about that. Is how to answer that question, what do you do? When you're in that scenario where you're talking with somebody and all of a sudden they ask you, hey, what do? You have to be able to have a response to that. Part two of preparation is know the rules of the game, which I alluded to briefly. Basic rules of the game, know the ABC method. We have entire calls around that. The tool that you are going to be inviting to, is it a DVD? Is it a CD? Is it a link on the web? And is it the date and location of the next event? So those are the basic rules of the game you need to get started. Not as complicated as baseball, wouldn't you say?
No.
So once we're prepared, now we need to kind of game plan what we're going to do. Every professional, it doesn't matter if you're in business, it doesn't matter if you're in network marketing, it doesn't matter if you are in baseball or a professional basketball player, you have daily sets of events that you're going to do. If you go into your job tomorrow morning, you have a set of daily tasks that you know you need to do. Deacon is no different. If you are in business for yourself, you just simply are accountable only to yourself when you do that. So set your daily method of operation. Here's what you need to do each week to be successful in Deacon. Every week, first of all, review the previous week. What worked, what didn't, what are you going to do different? Then you're going to set this week's goals. How many people are you going to talk to? How many people do you want to have an initial introduction? How many people do you want at your event? How many commitments are you going to get to the next big event? Whatever goals you want to set for yourself, it's wide open. You can choose your own goals, but set them every single week. And then here's the big thing that I alluded to on Saturday that Rick kind of talked about, where sometimes we can get put on the back burner. You want to put in your schedule, in your calendar, the time you're going to work your business each and every day. If you had a part-time job, and you came home from your full-time job at, let's say, 5:30, you got home, and you had to be back at your part-time job at 7 p.m., and you had just laundry to do. Well, you did a couple loads of laundry, now you got to fold that laundry, and the dishes need to be done, and your son needs help with the homework. Are you going to call your employer at 6:59 and say, you know what, boss, I'm sorry, I can't come in because I got these chores to do? Or are you going to be like, you know what, it's 7 o'clock, I haven't played Madden in a couple weeks, and I'm going to get on the Xbox, and I'm going to play me some football. I'm going to call the boss and tell him, boss, I'm not coming into my job today because I'm going to play football. How is that going to go over with your boss?
Not well, right?
But how many of us have actually done that besides me? I'll admit it, I've done it. How many of us out there have actually done that with our unique in business sometimes? Put it so far on the back burner, we put it even behind our hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever done that one before?
Right.
So, now that's what we need to do every week. So put it in your calendar, get your calendar out, look at where you have openings. Put your regular job in your calendar. If you're still working, write that down. If you're there from 5 to 10, if you're there from 2 to 10, if you're there from 5 a.m. to 1 a.m., put it in your calendar so you know where you can then slot your niche in time, and that's your job in that time. Nothing takes the back seat to it. If you've got emails to answer, phone calls to return that are of a personal nature, you don't do that on your boss's dime. Don't do it on your niche in dime either, all right? Now you also need to schedule each and every day. Things, the absolute mandatory things that will keep you shooting down still so that you can always do the things that will yield results is you need to schedule the people you're going to contact. So write down, who are you going to contact? Write down the people you need to follow up with that you previously contacted. And then set up a time there where you're going to meet new people or make sure that you meet new people each and every day. At the end of the day, review what worked for that day. Now, this is before you go to sleep, not at 6 p.m., at 10 p.m. Before you go to sleep, review what worked today and plan the next day. Plan the people you're going to contact, plan the follow-up, and do that the night before. There's something, I've seen studies of it and I've tried it. It is far more effective when you plan the next day right before you go to sleep. It's like the creative forces going. I don't know the science behind it. I won't even try to get into it. But it's the creative energies that you put forth when you do that right before going to sleep. When you wake up the next morning, you are just more charged because you know exactly what you're going to do. You get a running start at the next day. So that's my recommendation to you for your daily method of operation. Plug it into your calendar at a specific time and keep that promise to yourself. Stephen Covey, the author of 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, says habit number one is be proactive, and the way that I remembered what proactive meant was this. Make a promise to yourself and keep it. It's the hardest thing to do. It's even harder to make a promise to yourself than it is to keep a promise to somebody else. But because you're not accountable to anybody but yourself. So make a promise to yourself and keep it. So once we got that down, let's go on to some of the basic fundamental skills that we're going to develop. First of all, the mindset that we have to have. A professional's mindset whenever we are talking with a new prospect is this. One, our goal is to establish trust. Two, educate them. And three, communicate passion and vision. I want you to notice in there, is signing them up or getting a new distributor, a new consultant on that list as part of the professional's mindset?
No.
If we establish trust, if we educate, if our goal is to educate them about what we do, let them decide if they want to join us. Our goal is simply to provide information about what we do and let them identify themselves. Do it with passion and vision. Put some check marks on there about how you can go about establishing trust. Hey, smile all the time. Be interested in them. How many people are more interested in being interesting than in being interested? How many ladies out there ever sat down to dinner with a new date, somebody they were on a first date with, and have the guy just talk all night long about himself? I'm sure that's never happened in our world, huh? Does that go over really well when somebody's trying to be interesting?
No.
So when we meet a new person, we're throwing up Nikin on them. Are we being interested in them, or are we more interested in being interesting? So be interested in them, and the best way to do that is ask questions and listen. Come up with a few questions, and I didn't want to put every possible different thing on. I want to leave this open to you guys. Have a few questions at the ready that you know that you always ask people, and listen to them. And, you know, Rick's always saying, Confucius say things like, truck stuck in mud cannot get other truck stuck in mud out of mud, or something like that. So I came up with my own little Confucius saying that, he who asks most questions wins. The person who is talking the most should be your prospect, not you. You should be the one that's asking questions, and shut up and listen. And don't formulate your next question until you hear what it is they are saying. So be interested in them and come from the standpoint of have the intention to make their lives better. You know, if recommending something that's not Nikan is going to make their lives better, like, hey, you need to go see this guy down the street to fix your car, Nikan's not going to fix their car. So, you know, have the intention of making the person's life better. So always come from that mindset and you'll establish trust. Now, the fundamental skills that we're going to use all those mindsets with are these three basic things. Our job as Nikan consultants is to find people to invite them, and follow up with them. And then you just keep repeating the process. That's it. Find them, invite them, and follow up. So let's talk about those really quick. Where is my next slide? Finding prospects. First of all, when we come into Nikan, we're always told, start your 100 list. Write down all the names of people that you know. I want to reiterate something. Your 100 list is your starting point. Has anybody ever been with a new, remember back to when you were a new prospect or when you were a new sign-up, and your coach told you, your sponsor told you, now write down a list of everybody you know, and in your mind you went, okay, I'm going to write down Sally, because Sally would really want to do this, and Bob may want to do this, Susie won't, I won't put her on my list. Anybody ever done that before, where they were making their list of who they thought they would want to talk to, or who they thought would be receptive, and not just make a list of all the names? Well, I'm going to give you a way out of that so that you don't do that. Your 100 list, I want your purpose of your 100 list to be this. It's just a brain dump on the paper of everyone you know that's not in Nikan. If it's your mailman and you know his first name, put it on the list. If it's somebody you met at church 3 months ago and you remember their name, put it on the list. If you don't remember their name but you knew that they had purple hair and it was spiked, put it on the list. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that you've ever met, put it up. Now, that list is not necessarily, when you brain dump everybody you know on your list, that's not necessarily going to mean that tomorrow you're going to call every single person on that list and invite them. We're just trying to get everything out of your head onto paper. The professionals add people to their list every single day. I think one of the things that, as amateurs, people make a mistake with is when they come on board with Nikan, they make their list and they only come up with 25 names of the people they think would be receptive, and then they burn through those 25 names. They just got all excited and went and talked to them, like hacking with a baseball bat at a ball instead of being effective with setting it up and learning how to hit right. And then they come back to their sponsor and they say, I don't know anybody. I talk to everybody I know. Nobody wants to do this. And I just don't know enough people. There's 300 million people in this country. You meet new people every single day. Some of us are just not aware that we're doing it. We do it naturally. So what we're going to do is we're going to add to this master list, the 100 list, every single day. And then have an ACL. Athletes all have ACLs, and if you've got a busted ACL, you're out of business as an athlete, are you not? So if you have a busted ACL, this ACL is going to be called your active candidates list. This is going to be your working list. You're going to take from your 100 list people that you've identified for maybe this day or this week that you feel very strongly you'd like to talk to them right away for whatever reason that it is. And this is going to be your working list that you're going to work from. And that frees you from the trap of trying to prejudge somebody prior to contacting them. You know, and that's worked for me, and hopefully that works for many other people. So how do you go about meeting new people, finding prospects, adding to your 100 list? Make a goal of meeting two people every day. Not for the sake of prospecting two cold people every single day, but for the purpose of building a relationship, just getting to know people. Make two friends a day. Do not mention Nikan. Just make two friends a day to put on your master list. You may prospect them next week. You may prospect them 3 years from now. You may prospect them in 5 minutes. It doesn't matter, but just make a goal of meeting two people every day. Different ideas, you guys, we're around people all the time. Be active in your church and in your community. I met two new people this Sunday at church that I'd never met before. And one of them just recently moved in. There's always, if there's 400 people at your church, guys, and you don't know every one of them, you've got people to introduce yourself to. Is that true or false?
It's very true.
That's very true, and shouldn't we all be very close with people in that type of a community? So volunteer also for everything that you can. If you're a parent, man, there is no end of things you can volunteer for. PTA, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, parties, field trips, be a chaperone, mentor someone. If you're part of a homeowners association, they have meetings like every month. Attend every meeting. Go for the purpose of being involved, not of finding a Nikon prospect, but being involved. You will still be calling people that were already on your 100 list every day, and you'll still be talking to people about Nikon, but these activities are feeding that pipeline, okay? Now, how do you develop this skill? If you have an introverted person out there, we may have some people out there that are new, not quite sure that how to go about getting out of their shell, so to speak, like I am, or like I was. And here's your batting practice for developing the skill. Every day, pick a number, 5, 10, or draw a number out of a hat or something, and say, this is the number of people I'm going to smile and say hi to. Total strangers, I'm going to smile and say hi, and I'm just going to count how many people smile back. Just to get comfortable engaging with people. I told one person a couple months ago that was going to come on board, he was like, I don't know, you know, how do I go about engaging with people or see if they engage? I said, you know what? Just for the next week, all I want you to do is go around and I want you to compliment every person that you meet. A genuine compliment. You're not going to mention Nikon. You're not going to do anything else. You're just going to compliment them and see how that changes your feeling inside and how much more comfortable you get at swinging at that. All right? So those are some ideas. You can come up with some of your own. You can come up, I've heard lots of things. I just put a couple things up there. But finding people is going to be key. Professionals are always finding new people. Amateurs will burn through their 100 list, and when they run out, they'll see that 100 list as a resource that is finite. Professionals know that they're always meeting people and always adding to that, and finding people is not a resource that can burn out, that it is a skill that can be developed, is the muscle that can be exercised every single day. Anybody got any comments on that before we jump into it and biting and get the last half of the information?
That was a huge point you just made, Jeremy, that it's not a finite resource. And, you know, Dave Johnson is always meeting people, signing people up. Char Rogers, our Royal Diamond, just did this weekend. I mean, it becomes part of what you do, not just, okay, I talked to three people, they weren't around this, so he can park.
Right.
That was a great comment.
All right, so moving on to inviting, our next skill. So our first skill is finding people. Inviting, this is like your gateway skill. If you don't develop your skill to invite people, well, you're done. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, if we cannot effectively teach you how to invite people, you're done. But the good news is that it is a skill that can be learned. Now, initially, a long time ago when I first signed up in my first MLM, Nikon's my second, by the way, so I wasn't like a 40 companies or something, and there's nothing wrong with that, I'm just, because you'll go through 40 until you get Nikon, but when you hit Nikon, you're gonna stop, so it's okay. You gotta go through 40 to get here, I'm all good with that. But I was first initially told, you know, hey, you're just really excited, go find people who are excited and want to change lives. Well, that scared the you-know-what out of me, because I didn't have any idea what to say to somebody. Now, here's the thing, and Rick said it several times, it's not important what you say, it is important how you say it, and something that will be helpful in knowing how you are supposed to speak is to have some guidelines. And what I'm putting up here on the board are some guidelines for you. If you follow this, not as a word-for-word script, but as an outline for you, you'll feel the freedom of being yourself and not being tied to any kind of a script. But at the same time, you'll have enough structure that you know what you're going to say as far as, I'm going to say something like this, and it doesn't matter if I mess up on any of the words. Okay? So, we're going to break this down into 6 steps really quick. It takes less than 2 to 3 minutes to deliver this smoothly to someone, and this is a starting point. Okay? This is a starting point for anybody new. You'll, as you learn this, kind of graduate out of that and it becomes so second nature, you know, you don't need this. So see, this is just a pattern here is training wheels for when you're learning how to ride a bike, okay? So step one is be in a hurry. We're going to talk about each one of these and then we're just going to break each one down for about a minute or two, okay? So step one is be in a hurry and you get right to the point. Step two is compliment somebody sincerely, then extend the invitation. After you extend that invitation, you're going to end that invitation with a, if I would you. That's something I learned from Dennis Estes. It's been very, very helpful. One of our Royal Diamonds who lives up in Utah. If I would you. Then after that, you're going to set the follow-up and you're going to get off the phone. You don't want to undo any of the good stuff that you already did. So let's get into step one. Be in a hurry. Why should you give off a tone of that you are in a hurry? And the best reason I can come up with is this. Because go-getters are attracted to other go-getters. Rich just said it a few minutes ago when we started this. He said, people who are busy are more successful than the people that are not. And if you want to attract that kind of a person who is successful, then you will only attract that by emulating that yourself. So go-getters are attracted to go-getters. I have never met a go-getter that was attracted to somebody who just kind of likes to mope around. Anybody else?
No. More negative. Always positive, too.
Always positive, too. So some examples of how you start out your invitation. Hey, I don't have a lot of time, but I'm glad I caught you. Or I'm on my way out the door, but it was really important I got a hold of you. So don't worry about those exact wordings, but just get the flavor of the tone. The tone is, hey, you're busy, you're in a hurry, but you are also excited, you have some passion, you have some enthusiasm, all right? And then we go right to step two, compliment that person. This step right here will increase the success of the invitation at least 80%. The day I inserted this into the way I invited somebody by making sure I complimented them first, not at the end, but complimenting them first, I went 7 for 7 of invites in less than 30 minutes. Less than 30 minutes, I got on the phone, I said, I'm going to try this, I'm just going to compliment them first. I got a hold of 7 people and all 7 said yes, like in a row. I'm like, okay, I'm never going to invite anybody ever again without first complimenting them. Because here's the thing, if you're sincerely complimented, if somebody says to you, you know, Rick, you've been a good friend of mine for a few years now, and there's very few people I respect as much as I respect you. Once you hear that, it's kind of unnatural to be negative after receiving that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just unnatural. So you kind of continue with setting that tone. So some examples, then I remember hearing Dave Johnson always saying, well, hey, you know, you're a really sharp person. Isn't Dave just complimenting them? How'd you like my Dave imitation? Was that okay?
Yeah, that was
okay. Hey, you know, you're a really sharp person. You know, he compliments them right off before he invites them to anything. Reed Nelson, when he did his big push when he first got started, he said, Yvonne and I would be honored if you would consider joining us. When you tell somebody that you would be honored by their presence, isn't that a compliment? So the best ones out there, they're doing it. Here's something that I want anybody here to try this with any close friend and family member. Are you ready for it? You've always been supportive of me, and I appreciate that so much. You tell one of your family members, you know what, you call your brother. I called my brother up, Mike, and said, Mike, you know what? You've always been so supportive of me, and I appreciate that so much. Where is it going to go at that point? You know what I'm saying? It's not designed to be manipulative. It's designed to set the energy, okay? You've been supportive of me, and I appreciate that so much. Okay, it's non-threatening; it puts them at ease, and that's something to use with every close friend and family member that knows you. The people that know you from the time that you were little, growing up, they're the ones that are going to be the hardest ones because they know you from when you were not in Eakin, and you coming at them with, hey, we're going to launch the biggest home business this country has ever seen. We're going to make $10,000 a month, and I want you to come on board with me. And it's your dad who's known you since you were born. He's going to be like, really, son? Really? Right? So But if you come at him bad, you know, you've always been so supportive of me. I appreciate you that so much. And, you know, Danny and I were starting a new business. We're really nervous. But we're asking some of the people that we have a lot of respect for to kind of take a look at what we're up to and give us their input. Does that have a different flavor to it?
Mm-hmm.
So, the last idea, again, there are very few people who I respect as much as you. When you learn to use things like, I appreciate you, I respect you, I'd be honored if you're a really sharp person, compliment them before you invite them. Then let's go to invitation. Two approaches that I want to just cover really briefly. The direct approach is best used when you know their needs and they look up to you. You have credibility with them. It's great for cold contact. These are the things that some people use almost exclusively, and when they do use them almost exclusively, maybe they get a 1 in 10 success rate. What we want to do is up you from 1 in 10 to something like 3 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 7 out of 10. So these are the things where you come up to somebody, hey, Steve, you were telling me that you hated your job. Were you serious? Are you just kidding around? And they say, oh, yeah, no, I was serious. Well, I think I got something that can help you get out of that job. Are you open to new options? That's a very direct approach. It works very, very well with some people, but you have to have credibility with those people. It also works well if you've got a confident posture when you're talking to somebody you just met. That's like a cold contact, somebody who waited on you in a restaurant or something like that. But more times than not, if you're talking to a friend and you do that, and let's say you are a person of influence on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 10, you're only going to talk to people that are like 9s or 8s because you have to have that credibility. There's this ego that the brain likes to play around with a lot. And then let's say they come on board. They're an 8 or a 9. Are they going to talk with 9s and 10s, or are they going to talk with somebody below an 8? They're going to go talk to 7s and 6s, and the 7s and 6s are going to come on board, and they're going to talk to 4s and 5s, and the 4s and 5s are going to be like, well, I don't know where I'm going to get the money. And you say, okay, well, let's find a way to figure out where to get the money. And you find the money, and the 4s and 5s comes on board, and they talk to the 2s and 3s, and they say, it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come all the way back up line and say, hey, Rick, nobody wants to do this.
Yep.
And it's just because of the approach. So let's take this and give you an alternative that you can use with absolutely anybody. Now, this is still a good approach with the right people. Know your audience and know what it is that they'll respond to. But here's one that can also work very well for the majority of people, especially when you're new. I call it an indirect approach. You can use it almost anyone. It helps get past initial resistance. It's the best approach for family and close friends. And here's the gist, and Rick has been talking about this for months now. The gist is, it may not be for them, and you're asking them for their input. Notice I use the word input. Do not ask for their validation. Do not ask them if they think it's right for you. Ask simply for their input. So here's an example. I just started a new business. I'm really nervous. I'm asking people I respect to take a look and give me some feedback. Would you be willing to do that for me if I made it simple? Is that smooth and easy?
Oh, yeah.
That's smooth and easy. We're helping to launch the Wellness Home Concept in Dallas, Texas, and we need some partners. It may not be for you, but would you take a look at what we're up to and give me your perspective? Simple, non-threatening, neutral ground. Then part four, if I would you. Now, here's the thing I want you to notice how I ended. I'm going to go back. I want you to pay attention to something really, really carefully. The last words of each of those examples I gave under step three for the invitation was, would you be willing to do that for me if I made it simple? Is that a yes or a no question, or is it open-ended?
Open-ended.
It's a yes or no question, isn't it? Would you be willing to do that for me if I made it simple?
Right.
It gets them to say yes. It's the first yes. You know how people have said that in sales techniques and stuff like that, that people have to say yes like so many times, right? Or at the end of the second example, it may not be for you, but would you take a look at what we're up to and give me your perspective? Yes or no? So see, at the end of that invitation, you got the first yes. If they hit that first yes, then you go to the next one. Great. If I gave you a DVD that explains it better than I could, would you watch it? That gives the next yes. or we're having some friends over on Saturday for an overview. If I gave you an invitation, would you attend? Again, it's structured to get them to say either yes or no. If they say no, you don't need to go any further. It's not a big deal. But if you do this properly, people are not going to say no. You're going to find my first half hour, 7 out of 7, I'm telling you. Give it a shot. Okay, then we go right on to step 5. They say, yeah, I'll watch it for you. Yeah, I'll help you out. Okay. So set the follow-up. Here's the gist of setting the follow-up. Get them to set their own appointment. And here's the first way you do it. This is the question you ask. When do you think you could watch it by? Now, I prefer this to, okay, I'll give that to you and I'll try to call you back in a couple of days, because it doesn't get solidified in their mind. But when you say, when do you think you could watch it by, it forces their brain to go mentally into their calendar to go, okay, wait, I got this going on Tuesday night, but I'm off Wednesday morning. Okay, I can watch it Wednesday morning after I get the girls off to work. Okay, hey, yeah, you know what, Rick, I can go ahead and I can watch that by Wednesday, probably around 10 o'clock. See, they've got to mentally go into their head and fill in a slot in their mental calendar. So ask them, when do you think you can watch that by? They say, hey, I can watch that by Wednesday. Great. So if I were to call you on, what, Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, you'll have watched it for sure. Oh, yeah, Wednesday afternoon would be fine. Great. What's the best number to call you at? See how that flows nice and simple, and they set their own appointment time. Everybody get the gist of that one?
Yeah.
Any feedback on that? What do you all think of that? Is that good?
Great.
Alright. Step 6, get off the phone. Remember, you were in a hurry to begin with. Once you got that commitment that you're going to call them back, staying on the phone is only going to encourage questions. So at that point, just be like, great. Hey, great. Thanks so much. Got to run. I'll talk to you on Thursday. That's it. So let's put it all together real quick. Here's one going after, or you're talking to one of your family members. I'm going to call my family member Steve. Hey, I'm running out the door, but I need to talk to you real quick. And Steve's like, yeah, go ahead. You know, Steve, you've always been so supportive of me as a brother, and I appreciate that so much. You know, my wife and I, we just started a business from home. I'm really nervous, and we're looking for partners. I'm asking for people I respect to take a look at what we're up to and give me their input. Would you be willing to do that? He goes, yeah, sure, absolutely. Okay, well, if I gave you a link to a video that kind of laid out the information in a professional way, would you watch it? It takes less than 10 minutes. Yeah, I'll watch it. Great. When do you think you can watch it by? You know, I'm kind of busy tomorrow, but, you know, Wednesday's got something going on. How about Thursday? Yeah, I can watch it by Thursday. It's only 10 minutes. Yeah. So if I gave you a call Thursday night, you'd be able to watch it for sure? Maybe Friday. Okay, I'll give you about Friday morning and you'll see it for sure then. Yeah, sure, absolutely. Great. What's the best time for me to call you Friday morning? How about 8 o'clock? Awesome. We'll talk then. Thanks so much. Bye. That's it. That's as long as that conversation should go. It could be done in a minute. Usually it takes 2 to 3. Let's get another example simply of a cold contact really quick. You meet somebody at a restaurant. They gave you great service, and they're a really bright person. You go, you know, now's not the time to get in this because I have to go, but, you know, you're a really sharp person. Do you plan on doing what you're doing now for the rest of your career? Guys, nobody plans on doing what they're doing now for the rest of their career. Every place that people are at nowadays in this society is a stepping stone to someplace else. Even if they're working in their career, they've got a resume on monster.com waiting for the next big thing. Is that true or false?
True.
That's true. So they say, no. Well, no, good, all right. Well, we're off to the most powerful home careers ever come to Dallas. We're looking for some super sharp people like you. Are you open to new ways to make more money? That's a little bit more direct, isn't it? They say, yeah, I always look at making more money. Now, some people may say no. If they say no, what do?
Keep going.
Go, no, all right, hey, no problem. Have a great day. Walk on. They say, yeah, what do you got? Well, if I gave you a video link that laid out what we're up to, would you watch it? Explains it better than I can. Yeah, sure, I'll watch it. Great. It takes about 10 minutes. When do you think you can watch it for sure? Thursday? Great. If I give you a buzz Friday morning, you'll have seen it by then, right? Yeah, absolutely. Great. What's the best number and time for me to give you a call? I get their number. I get their name. I get their email before I give them the tool. And I say, awesome. We'll talk then. Thanks so much. And you're out. That's it. Is that quick and is that easy? Is that painless?
It's easy.
Is it, does it have a feel of that you're being pushy, or does it give you a more natural feel?
More natural feel.
More natural feel. Good. Absolutely. Alright. So that's what we're going for. So the very last slide here on the last field. So we talked about finding people, and that pros are always finding more people and adding to their list, that they separate out their 100 list from their active candidate list, and they work with those. And they schedule on a daily basis, but they're always finding. We talked about inviting, and we just gave you simple methods on how to invite. Your last skill, it don't matter how well you invite, if you don't do what afterwards?
Follow up.
So, if you follow up, you give them a call and they answer the phone. Now, just because they say they're going to invite, does that, or they say in, when you invite them that they will watch or they will listen, does that mean they're always going to do it?
No.
That's just normal. Okay, that just goes with the territory. That's just part of it. Okay? Just know that's gonna happen. It's normal. Rick, how long did it take you to take a look at Nikin when you got the video?
Almost 3 months,
okay? Don't get all twisted up inside because somebody said, oh no, I didn't have time. Most of the time when they didn't watch it, they'll avoid your call.
Yes.
True or false? You don't even have to even, like, engage in that, okay? We should probably do a segment on voicemails and how to use voicemails, but we're not going to get into that now. But
right.
if they didn't watch, all you do is you say, hey, no problem, you know, we're all busy and everything, I totally get it, you know I'm always busy too. Just, hey, when do you think you have a chance to watch that for sure? You know, you said for sure before. Do I say for sure? Do I say it that way twice? Yes, I do. Because it's kind of comical, and it kind of cements it in them, and they're like, yeah, okay, no, I'll get it in the next couple of days. Oh, next couple of days, but, you know, you're busy, I know, I'm busy, I don't want to waste any of your time. I mean, if you're not going to watch it, it's okay, just let me know. Oh, no, I'll watch it for sure on Friday, for sure I'll watch it on Friday. Okay, great. So I give you a buzz on Saturday morning, you'll see it then, right? Yeah, absolutely, great. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. And set a specific time. Okay? Just reschedule it and follow up. Get off the phone. You're busy, remember? When they have watched it, they said, yeah, I saw the video. Great. There's only two questions you're going to ask. You don't have a list of 50 different options to choose from. Just two questions you're going to ask. You ready? What did you like the best? Not, did you like it? There's a difference. What did you like the best? At this point, you want open-ended questions. You want them speaking freely. You want them giving their opinion. What did you like the best? The second question is, after they tell you what they like the best, that's great. They may tell you 5 things they really like. You're looking for the people that are really opening up when they're telling you what they like. Okay? Then your next question, this is basically your closing question or leading to your close, is on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you have no interest, and 10 being you'd like to join us and get started today, what do you see yourself? Now, I've gotten things from 9 to 3. The lowest I ever got was a 3. Okay? If they're around a 7 or, you know, a 6 or a 7, you could probably sign them up right there. Okay? If they're down to a 3 or 4, something like that, I'd say, my next question is simply this, and I don't have it on the slide. A 3, hey, that's great. What will it take, what do you need to know, or what will help you get from a 3 to a, say, a 5? And they'll tell you. And then just listen. They'll tell you how to sponsor them. They say, well, I kind of need to experience the product. Oh, hey, that makes a whole lot of sense. You just saw a video and you want to experience the product. Yeah, that's it. Well, great. Hey, you know, we're having people over here on Saturday for an overview. We're going to have product demonstrations so people can experience them firsthand. If I gave you an invitation to that, would you attend? You see how I went right back in to that invitation?
Yes.
All right? Okay, and then you just walk them through the sign-up, or you invite them to the next exposure, whether the next exposure is, if they're at a distance, send them a video on the water demo. If they're local, get them to the event. If you don't have an event scheduled now, what's the first order of business? If you currently do not have an event on your schedule, your first order of business is to do what?
Get one on your schedule, yep.
Get one on your schedule,
all right?
Guys, that's it. You set your daily method of operation. you develop your skills on a daily basis of finding people, inviting people, and following up. You should be doing each of those three things every single day. You should be finding new people every day. They may be people that just go on your 100 list to prospect in the future, or you may prospect them right now, depends on the situation. You should be inviting people every day, and you should be following up with the previous people you invited every single day. And you just repeat the process. Guys, I hope it's been helpful. It's been a joy kind of putting this together. I want to thank Rick for passing me the ball on this and open up any questions or any comments from you, Rick.
No, you did a great job, and I'm going to tell you, my chat blew up for people wanting the recording of it, and I think it encapsulates a lot of information really, really well. You guys on the live side, didn't Jeremy knock that out of the park, you guys?
Definitely.
Awesome. And I'm going to load this up. This will be on the Prospecting 101 page. It's got great information on it just to give you an idea of how to have your basics, your DMO, your daily method of operations, combined with some other stuff mixed in, and it's just great information. Now, it goes back to one thing I've heard for years. It's not so much what you know, it's what you do. And what this call does is it gives you the way to kind of know, hey, that, you know, I this is what I'm doing. And really what it is, if you really look at it, it's a way to first start thinking, you know, I need to treat this like a business, and then secondly, to give you some benchmarks to do it. And then third, it gives you a great prospecting methodology of how to set up fun interactions with prospects to where things aren't dragging out and it's not getting into that permanent loop. Have any of you guys on the phone ever been in a loop with prospects where you feel like you're just not moving people forward? Maybe you're talking to a lot of people, but they're not really progressing. Has anybody ever felt the way with me? I certainly have.
Yeah, we have too.
What this does is it gives you the little phraseology and things to think about. So instead of getting stuck with a lot of quote unquote prospects, you have a forward moving process. And really that's the difference between a growing business and a stagnant one, are people that move forward through the process, you know, at their own pace. But you're not stuck with people that are just quote unquote prospects, but people that are moving forward. So that's it. So I want to thank you guys for coming. Let me stop the recording. All right, man, I got a ton. Jeremy, it's blowing up over here. People are really giving you great results. So thank you, everybody. I know he feels that way, too. Clear and simple, all kinds of stuff. And we will get this loaded up in the Prospecting 101 page by Thursday or Friday. It takes me a day to get it converted, and then I got to load it, set it up on Vimeo. There's kind of a big production, but it'll be done really, really quickly. Next week, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about those things to say to people to answer the question, what do you do? So will you guys on the live side, will you guys help with that call next week? And we'll kind of run right down and ask everybody, what do you do? Will you guys help me answer it so we can get some great things to share with people to help people answer the question, what do you do? You guys help out with that?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So next week, be ready to answer the question, what do you do? And then we'll do a little bit of role playing with some of the stuff that we've covered tonight. Let's have a great one. Hey, tonight is the wrap-up of September. Right now, you want to be finishing up levels and launching into the next one. I just was talking to Christina, and we have a gentleman, awesome ST up in Oklahoma, just went senior. He's already talking about going executive. I know Randy and Dorothy, I just got a text. They're running to make a gold run this year. Wes is running for silver. All you guys, Lonnie and Wita got a couple down here with the Martins and the Franklins running for silvers, and Ishmael, those of you guys are listening, let's get all this stuff done. Jeremy just texted in. He's making a silver run right now. What we're doing right here is leading into next month. Have a giant October. It's a product launch. It leads in November. Another product launch. It's going to be distributed around the country. This is time for building eCamps. You guys ready to go off? And, hey, remember, next year, we're going to put 1,000 people in the room with this group. It starts now. You guys all ready to do this great endeavor?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. We'll have a great end of the month tonight. I know some people got some things to do. We will have a big kickoff tomorrow. The month starts tomorrow for all of us. Let's have a giant October. We love you all dearly, and your slides will be up within 72 hours. So, Jeremy, great job, man. And I'm looking forward to watching your star shine with all these things, too. We love you all. God bless. Have a great week. And we'll catch you all this week. All right, everybody?
Thank you, Jeremy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks, Jeremy. Great call.
Thanks, Jeremy.